Mood.tv.
Hey, and welcome to the Derek D. Dozen. I know, it's been a while. Got a lot going on, as I'm sure you got a lot going on. We all do, right? But the Derek D. Dozen is back. I modified the show to 24 minutes because, quite frankly, 12 minutes was cool and all, but it was just too much to edit. You know, a 12-minute episode took me at least like 3 hours to edit to where I got it to the place I thought quality-wise it should be. So making it 24 minutes, it's still 24, but gives me some breathing room. That being said, I appreciate you listening. Follow Derek D. Dozen on Instagram and shoot me a DM if you have a topic and I'll talk about it on the show. And of course, all my stuff is at DerekD.com. All right, so these first three episodes back are an interview I did with my dad. You know, I couldn't just make it one episode. I mean, he's my dad, and I've always wanted to have him on. Can't just talk to him about his life in 24 minutes. So that's what I did. It's broken up into three episodes. This is part one, and it's just about his life and a bunch of stuff, and I just wanted to talk to him about it, and that's what I did. And I think it came out really cool, not only for me, but I thought he really enjoyed it too. We covered a lot, and I shot these episodes as well. For those of you watching, you could see that. So there's a video element. You get that visual. And the link to that is in the description of this episode. But you could just Google YouTube Derek D and it should pop right up. That my channel should pop right up. But all right, let's jump right into it. I guess I'll be introducing me. Take it away, me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my dad, Anthony, Tony, Big Tone. Welcome to the show, Dad.
Thank you. Good to be here.
But so yeah, a lot of my friends call you Big Tone.
I noticed. Yeah. There are people that just refer to me as Big Guy, and bothers me. I don't like that. Big Tone, I don't mind.
Well, I think Big Guy is more of like a people are like, hey, what up? Hey, what up, Big Guy? Like they say it to anyone. I don't think it's necessarily a matter of size.
No, I don't take it as a negative. It just bothers me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be big.
But like my friends would always be like, there's, you know, Big Tone, like the Italian thing, like, you know, it's big tone, you know, tone.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Tone music. It's kind of, you know, it's got tone. It's kind of got that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what, it doesn't really bother me.
What are other nicknames you had? I know you Butch. Like people called you Butch. Like Aunt Lucy always called you Butch. Uncle Carl called you Butch. Where did you get the nickname Butch?
My grandfather started calling me that when I used to hang around the butcher shop.
Oh, really? I thought it was because like, hey, Tony, Anthony, hey, Butch. You know, it sounds like an Italian thing, but it's more about the butcher. I thought I knew the answer to that, and I didn't realize that.
Because he would give me my own apron and stuff. You know, I was a little kid, but my dad worked for his father in the butcher shop. It's sawdust on the floor, the old-fashioned kind of deal.
Yeah.
And they just started calling me, hey, the little butcher over there, and Butch stuck.
Oh, so it was actually in reference to being a butcher, like working the butcher. And that was Grandpa's butcher.
That was shop. The family business. It was on Orange Street in Newark.
Orange Street in Newark. Yeah, so you worked there for, how long did you work there?
I didn't work there. I worked at my dad's butcher shop when I was a teenager. My grandfather's, I just hung out. Like my dad would take me to work with him and I would hang out.
Oh.
I was a young kid.
But didn't you, I thought you worked in the butcher shop at some point.
My grandfather, my father's. My dad's butcher shop, which was in Bloomfield.
So Papa's, my grandfather.
Yes. Yeah.
Another Anthony, another Tony, Big Tone, bigger yes. Tone. And what year was that?
64, 65.
Wow. So, but how long did he have the butcher shop? How long did he own that?
I'm going to say 4 or 5 years.
Like what happened to him? He sold the business? And like, why isn't it still in the family? Like, why don't we have a big butcher conglomerate?
Because the big food town moved in like five doors down, and he couldn't match their prices. But he also had guys working for him that were stealing from him.
That's messed up, man.
It is messed up.
My dad's got so many like crazy stories. Didn't you have a horse? Like, my great grandfather on one side or something was like rich with a taxi business or something, had a lot of money. Didn't he buy you a horse or something when you were younger?
Yeah, when I was in the third grade.
And what happened to that business, the taxi business? Like,
well, that wasn't where he made his money.
A limousine business or something?
Yeah, my dad had a taxi business. My grandfather had a limousine business, but he also had...
So my great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather. Yeah. He had a couple of butcher shops. He had a grocery store at one point, and then my Uncle John had one too, my dad's brother. But he made money really in real estate. He started buying up properties, particularly in the Toms River area before.
Oh, so down here, yeah, down here.
Before
by the beach.
Really developed, and he was in Silverton.
Yeah,
and he made money on the houses he built and stuff.
And they bought you a horse. Growing up, you lived in like what, Bloomfield, Nutley? Like, no, you jumped around, right?
Yeah. Well, I was born in Newark, and we lived in Newark, and I started school in Newark, and I went to school there until we moved to Belleville.
Well, yeah, because growing up, I always heard Belleville, Nutley, Bloomfield, Newark, like all these Italian towns.
Yeah,
well, Newark, you know, but.
And my parents didn't want me staying at Newark because in the first grade, some dude threatened me with a knife in the first grade.
In the first grade?
Yeah. And what did I know, you know?
Yeah.
So they said, oh, you're not staying here. Then we moved to Belleville. And I transferred.
So you bounced around. I know you played sports all growing up and everything. But then when were you like music? Like, yeah, music is my thing. Like, I want to do music. When did you start playing?
Well, I started playing piano when I was six, young.
Yeah, because my dad, if you don't know, my dad's a bass player. He's a singer. He's been in bands all his life. And music was a big part of his life in general. But I was, you know, I kind of know the answer to some of these questions. But for people listening, you know,
Well, I started on piano, and then I guess around 9 years old, I switched to saxophone and clarinet.
Yeah.
And I played them as well. I'd already had a basic knowledge of music theory from piano. But, you know, then around 12 years old, everybody was picking up guitars.
Right.
Because rock and roll was starting, you know. Yeah. It was the early days of rock and roll, Elvis. And
how old were you when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan?
1964.
Now, is that before or after you picked up the guitar? You already picked up the guitar by then.
I had already been playing guitar like 5 years by then.
Yeah.
And I was already in bands by the time I was 15. I was playing guitar in bands, though. Mostly rhythm, some lead.
Yeah.
And then at 16 years old, I met Steve.
My Uncle Steve. Was actually not my uncle. He's one of my dad's really close friends. But you know, you got those people in your family that are just so close and you grow up with, you call them uncle. So Uncle Steve. And he's a monster guitar player.
No doubt. And so he was better than me, obviously. And he
said, so that's when he switched to start slapping the bass.
Well, he said to me, why don't you switch to bass? I said, I don't know how to play bass. He said, yes, you do. It's the same four strings that you have on guitar. Only guitars are six strings.
Yeah.
But the four of them are the same notes as they are on bass.
Yeah.
You know? So I bought a bass. I bought a 1962 Dan Electro Longhorn bass.
Yeah.
Which I still have to this day, thanks to these guys, my two sons, Derek and Jay, and my wife, Lorraine. They had it refurbished for me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did that last...
A couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago for Father's Day.
So I still have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I changed the color on it, and I wish I hadn't because it'd be worth more money if I didn't. But it's brown now, and it sounds good.
Yeah, so it's funny. My dad was in... What was the very first band you were in with Uncle Steve?
The Marvels.
Oh, so it was the Marvels. So my dad.
That wasn't the first band I was in, though. I was in bands before that, but that was the first band that I really stuck with and believed in. And we worked. We had a really good piano player, went on to major in music in college. His name was Giacomo Oliva.
Giacomo Oliva. Giacomo Oliva. Hey, Giacomo Oliva. Talking about, hey now. But yeah, no, that was cool. So you were in the Marvels, which is right on the time, like Buddy Holly and that whole thing. And it's funny because it looks like the Marvels, but they were called, like it looks like, and there's a picture of this. It's the Marvels, and they look like they're just like all buttoned up, and it's straight out of the...
Same jackets.
Early 60s, right?
Yeah.
Early 60s, same jackets. It was my dad, Uncle Steve. My Uncle John, who's my dad's brother, was not the drummer of that band.
No, a guy named Dennis Greco was.
Was there any other guys in that band that I know? I don't think so.
No, it was Dennis Greco, Steve, me, and Chipper. Chipper was his nickname, you know? I can't think of what his real name was.
It was a long time ago.
But Chipper was the rhythm guitar player. Steve was the lead guitar player.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Look at that picture, and that's the early 60s. And then, well, before we move on, I had found a record. Right, I found a record of the Marvels that you had cut
a recording
in the early 60s, and I was able to take that record and convert it to an MP3. Here's my dad and my Uncle Steve and a bunch of other guys in the Marvels. Take a quick listen. All right, so that's you singing and Uncle Steve on guitar.
I'm singing and playing bass, yeah.
Singing and playing bass. And it's very, it's got that like old school, it's got that Buddy Holly type feel, but also you can tell like there's a Beatles influence in there.
And there's an original song on there that Steve wrote called The Third Rail.
Oh yeah, I have that. I think I have all the MP3s, but I just gave you a little snippet before. But the funny thing was, you look at that picture and then fast forward into the late 60s, there's another picture. It's my dad, my Uncle Steve, now my Uncle John, who plays the drums.
My brother.
Yeah, my dad's brother.
And Freddie DelGuercio was the saxophone player.
And that band was called?
Blue Stone.
It's completely different from that other picture.
I've been told I look like David Crosby in that.
Yeah, you do a little bit. Think of exactly like hippies, 60s, long hair, mustaches. How long were you guys in Blue Stone?
Long time. It went through a couple different transitions, but long time. In fact, we wound up being Blue Stone again when I was in my 50s. I hadn't played in a while, but we got back together, my brother on drums, Steve on guitar, me on bass, just as a power trio.
Yeah, now I remember.
The name lasted a long time. A lot of transitions. We had horns at one time.
I mean, in our family, we'd be at like, you know, holiday events, and you guys would play, or a graduation party, you guys would play. So I'd always like see you from time to time, you, Uncle John, Uncle Steve, singing and playing. And it was always cool to see. Like, I remember my graduation, eighth and high school graduation, I was always like, you got to play. Because I loved watching you guys play. I thought it was always so cool to see my dad up there singing, playing bass. Because like, I was like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, I looked up to that. Then you played with like a band called Parkway. And
yeah, Parkway was a show band.
How far did that band get? Or in any band you were in, what's the farthest it got? Because I know you were playing. I went to William Patterson University. My dad actually went there. And way back in the day, I know you were one of the biggest bands on campus to play parties and stuff.
Played a lot of gigs there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was when I was William Patterson College.
College.
Yeah. Right. And then I ended up going there. But like, what's the furthest the band ever went?
Well, with Parkway, we worked 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
All different bars and nightclubs. We did a couple interesting gigs. We did one up to West Point where the Army football team was playing against, of all teams, Nebraska, which was a powerhouse back in the day.
That's right. My dad's went to Nebraska College.
But, yeah, I went to school in Nebraska,
school
too.
School in Nebraska.
That was the first college I went to. But I went to 4 colleges, but that's another story.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway, we took a boat ride up the Hudson to West Point, and they sold tickets, and it was loaded with people, a lot of our friends.
Yeah.
It was Parkway with Blue Stone.
Yeah.
My band plus the 4 singers. Our niche, you might put it, was that we would do a whole set, for example, of Beach Boy songs.
Right.
And come out with the Beach Boy get-up, you know, like...
Oh, you would actually do costume changes and stuff.
We did costume changes. And we would do a whole set of Temptations, and the guys did the steps and everything, you know, the dancing, like My Girl and all the big hits there.
Yeah.
Blue Stone, my band, always opened the show.
Okay, but then you could come out and join them as well.
We opened the show and did our stuff.
Yeah.
It was harder rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve would...
See, Blue Stone was like rock blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember you saying that you had songs on like jukeboxes and stuff.
And one time we did. And not only that, I sang on with other bands who just asked me to come in and sing lead on a song. And I was in the jukebox with other bands as well.
Oh, wow. Didn't you say...
As the lead vocalist.
Yeah.
Just brought in.
My dad played bass and he sang. Did you... like? But you always said that you had like some sort of stage fright, right? Like your nerves were...
I did. I was the kid in school who always sat in the back and very rarely raised my hand.
So the opposite of me.
Yeah. It was ironic that I became a teacher.
Yeah.
Because then I'm in front of the class.
I told you, my dad's had a million jobs.
Anyway, I did. I did suffer from stage fright. I mean, I used to get it so bad that I would be sweating and shaking, and I could never get over it. I mean, I think it lasted even when you saw me play. The first set, I was a wreck until probably third, fourth, fifth song, and I finally relaxed and just went with it. But I always had stage fright.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. That's true, though. You get into that groove. It's kind of like comedy where you get that first big laugh. You're like, okay, I'm comfortable now. They're here. They want to see me. They're laughing. They're enjoying it.
And I was made the lead front man in the band.
Yeah.
For a period of time, a couple of years at least, where I just sang lead and played some bass, some rhythm guitar, and even some keyboard on the Motown stuff.
Right.
I used to jump onto keyboards, and Chuck, who was the keyboard player, would play trumpet.
That's another example of Uncle Chuck. Not really my uncle, but always was around growing up. Yeah. It's funny though that like I understand stage fright. I don't really get it that much. I get more like excited or like an excited nervous. The only time, honestly, that if I still get asked to do straight stand up, like you know me, like I do like multimedia comedy shows where it's all I'm singing, I'm dancing, I'm doing stand up and all that stuff. But it no matter what, just stand up, still straight. That's even though I know I can go up there and do my thing, I look at stand up comics like wow, you know, because that's hard. That's I'm still scared of that. That's the one thing that I actually get scared of. But it's interesting how. Like, if you're just singing, okay, that's just you and your voice, but at least you have the band behind you and everything. But if you're a guitar player and you're singing, the guitar kind of be a crutch. You know what I mean? You're doing stand-up. You're just up there. It's silent if you're not talking.
Exactly. And when they asked me to front
So did that help? That's what I meant. Did that help a little bit? Help that having a bass in your hand? It helped having a guitar in your hand?
Yeah.
Having the guys behind you?
Yeah.
Like, does the thought of going up there by yourself with no instruments, just singing a cappella?
Yeah, well, even if it wasn't a cappella, if the band was behind me, you know, doing their thing, and I was just singing, which I did on many songs,
yeah,
I didn't know what to do with my hands. You know, I'm used to playing bass.
It was like awkward with your hands.
Yeah, so I played the tambourine and the cowbell, and, you know, I did all the percussion stuff.
That's funny. I'm just picturing you on stage singing, but, like, not sure what to do with your hands. You know, I've seen my dad play. I used to work at this place called Jack's Reuben Ale in my dad's band when he spoke about Bluestone being... around later on in life, they came around and they played there a bunch of times, which was cool to see on stage. It's actually,
well, he's my brother, and he's my other brother from another mother, and we've had a tight relationship for many, many years. Just so let's give it a shot.
It's actually, I think, video of me playing the cowbell with you guys up there. It's like, oh, yeah. Fucking idiot.
And Anthony sitting in, and Jay sitting in one time.
Yeah, well, my cousin Anthony, he's a very accomplished musician, plays piano and composes, and works on Broadway and writes.
Conducts,
yeah. And so, yeah, it's funny, too, because Jay, my brother, plays guitar. But Jay always did it as more of like therapy, I think. He just enjoys playing. Mom doesn't play. My sister doesn't play. But I guess, camera and a microphone, that's my instrument. Like, I like singing, too, but...
I did buy Derek a bass once.
That's right. I had a bass made by Kay. It was like a nice black bass, and I wish I stayed with it. You know, I just didn't have the discipline back then.
Yeah, because I tried to teach you and you were half interested. When I first started playing in bands, I'd say I was 14, 15, I was hesitant to sing because I did have that stage fright you talked about.
Yeah.
But I lived in a neighborhood where a bunch of guys would sing a cappella on the corner. And one time I got a little brave and I went closer to them and I was sort of hiding in a doorway. And they heard me singing. And here I am singing along with, and one of the guys in the group... the a cappella group, says, hey, kid, come here. And I was like, whoa.
It's like your classic Italian on the street corner, like the dude singing a cappella. Hey, kid, come over here.
These guys were all Italian.
Yeah.
You know, they were. And the guy says, all right, this is your note. And he gave me a note to hold. He says, stay on that note and just sing the same words and you'll be doing harmony with the rest of us. Then I knew I could sing with other people and I could pull it off.
It's funny, too, because I was always like, oh, I think I could sing. And then, you know, I think I started like, I don't know. I think maybe first time was in the musical in college that I was in. And then I was like, yeah, I can hold tune. And now I'll like do videos of me singing and stuff. And I get that from you. I always thought it was cool that you could sing and obviously play bass and guitar and all that stuff. Was there a point where you were just like, you wanted to give up music or you were just like, this isn't for me or.
No, music was a man.
Did you get married? Do you have kids? Like, is that what happened?
Mom never stopped me. I got to say that. I knew a lot of guys who gave up music because their wives were jealous. You know, that they're meeting all these other girls in the bars and stuff. Because, let's face it, girls love musicians.
Yeah. Well, Mom had such a level head. She has a very level head.
See, at one point, she stopped coming to see us play. She said, I've seen everything you do. You know?
And that's kind of a bummer for you. You're like, I want you to see everything. Like, please, enjoy. You know what I mean?
She just said to me, she said, you know, if you fool around behind my back and I find out about it, I'm going to stab you, you know?
And you're gone. That's it. It's over. That's it. You know?
My wife is Sicilian, and that's part of the joke.
Mom's the best. She's not that. She would just be like, okay, then I'm done with you. Bye. She would just be like, peace out.
Yeah. And I knew that would be the case. So I was very cautious. She did come and see us play quite a bit, but she was not the jealous type. Now, I play with some musicians, especially when I was with that band Parkway at the time. Mm-hmm. Their wives were at every single gig, watching them like hawks.
Were they watching them like hawks, or were they also supporting them and being like, oh, this is great? Right?
Well,
kind of,
yeah.
A little bit of both, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, one of the guys, Tom Battillo, is now the lead singer of the Dupree's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And don't we have a family member, he's like a second cousin of yours or something, that's on the song Brandy? Brandy, yeah. You're a fine girl.
Yes, my cousin Rich. Richard Marinaccio. Great guitar player, keyboard player, and vocalist. He sang backup on that song, though. He didn't sing the lead. But he's
on that recording.
The name of the group is Looking Glass.
Looking Glass, yeah. But then you got to the point where you were just like, I'm going to go in a different direction?
I got tired of the bar scene. I got tired of doing bars and partying all the time and drinking too much and, you know, on and on. I got burnt out. Simple as that.
It wasn't something like you were like, I just, you know, I couldn't make it. I couldn't do it. It was like, you know what? This is fun. I enjoy music, but I'm going to go in a different direction.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was always the most disciplined of anybody in the band. I mean, I practiced a lot and I knew music and knew music theory well enough where I could read music to some degree.
Yeah.
I wasn't a great reader, but I could read. And I made rules like no drinking at rehearsals.
That's good, though. I mean, that's how, you know, that's how it should be, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I was thinking, maybe I'll make it in this industry. I'll get a break along the line somewhere, you know?
Hey, I hear that.
And then I got disillusioned, I must say, because I realized how hard that is, you know, to get that break.
So it's always kind of been, I think, maybe like a...
Part of me.
Yeah, part of you and a therapeutic thing. And also, you know, you just loved it. That's why you did it. You know, it wasn't necessarily like... I'm going to do this and this is all I'm going to do and I need to do this for the rest of my life kind of thing. So you were always a performer. It's funny because I didn't realize I wanted to perform until really college. Like I was always the outgoing kid and stuff. I think growing up, I was kind of forced to be because I was the kid with the birthmark on his nose. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to be funny. So people be like, oh, he's funny. He's cool. Instead of making fun of me for having the birthmark on my nose. You know what I mean? Kind of like the chubby kid in class is always the funny kid in class. It never registered with me that I wanted to act or be a performer, even though I was like, always the first one on the dance floor, dancing and doing funny stuff. And that's why I went into college as an art major. What was your guys' reaction like when I first like told you that? Because I remember I said I wasn't going to change my major.
My first thought was,
uh-oh.
Oh, see, he's a chip off the old block. He's into entertaining.
Yeah.
Because I started doing it pretty young too. And I even said to Mom, I said, he's got it. I mean, he's the kind of young kid you could see likes to perform. So I thought you would take that all into your adulthood for sure.
And carry it into my adulthood. I sure did. I mean, I guess I'm an adult. But either way, it sure is a constant pursuit, folks. But that will do it for part one of this exclusive interview with my dad, Anthony DeAngelis, Tony D, Butch, Big Tone. I mean, they all apply. Part two is next. When I talk to my dad about when he and my mom lived in California, the many different jobs he had, and he had a lot, regretted decisions, our family's connection to the mafia.
Andy Gerardo, my Uncle Carmen's brother. Uncle Carmen was married to my Aunt Ella.
Yeah.
It's my dad's sister. His brother was the capo di capo in Newark. In fact, there's a whole...
So capo means captain.
Yeah.
Captain of the mob. Yeah, there's that and a whole lot more. Not only can you listen, but like I said in the beginning, you can watch each part of this interview with my dad on my YouTube channel. You can get to that at DerekD.com as well as all my other stuff. Make sure you follow the show on Instagram at DerekDDozen. And hey, thanks for listening, everybody. I do appreciate it. And I appreciate you copping my style. See ya.
Mood.tv.